me clearly, as we are currently on unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phone telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for the second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members for their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item for business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegated microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when the vote is being taken. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second, and please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder, and this should be done using the IM feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose and the first member having indicated through the IM will become the proposer and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the IM feature, so that we are aware that this is an active decision and doesn't indicate connectivity problems.
Sure, can you give us that again? I missed it there.
Sorry, Charlie, I missed that.
I was trying to make a joke, Karen. I said I missed bits of it. Could you give us it all again? They say it again as long as the meeting, for God's sake, the intro.
Well, you can listen back on the recording, Charlie. So we've done the introductions. Can I take apologies, Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Councillor Gallagher and Councillor Traynor.
Any other apologies? Declarations of interest. Can I declare an interest, please, on the nuclear-free local authorities where I am with the co-chair, which is coming up in the meeting? Have we any other declarations of interest? Okay, item 3 on the action sheet from the committee meeting held on the 20th. Of September. Owen, you'd like to come in?
Thank you, Chair. Just to bring members' attention, with regarding the adoption of suicide down to zero, just like to remind members that there is a workshop, a virtual workshop tomorrow, that there has been a Zoom invite sent out, so we have the mental health champion in attendance, as well as some of the larger sort of groups in relation to mental health and suicide prevention in the area are coming along tomorrow morning from 10 to 1. So if you're available, your attendance would be appreciated. Just really as a reminder. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Owen. Michael?
Thank you, Chair. Have to remember to put my mic on. Just an update on AHC 176, which was last month's meeting. I had said at last month's meeting that we would bring a report to this month. Unfortunately, I don't have that report this month. What we are doing currently, Chair, is we are discussing with Outdoor Recreation NI the possibilities of them carrying out an audit of all of our beaches in line with all the disablement guidance and with the May Murray Foundation and others. So we hope to be in a position to have that report here next month. Apologies that it's not here this month, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray.
The telepathy is running strong, and Mr. Lipset pretty much has answered my question, I think, so that's what he did. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Gareth Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on the first item on the action sheet there, the Newmall Farm Community Assembly proposal, has the plan application been submitted for that item? And when will the funding application go in?
Chair, I can maybe take this if you're happy.
Yeah, go on ahead, Jay.
This relates to the Trojan Horse Replacement Community Centre, isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah, it is indeed. No plan application is in yet. We're still in discussions with the funders and also the community plan horse community forum around the size and scope of the centre. There was also some local proposals around linking up with some other local groups for the purposes of the planning for the community centre. So we're still discussing the proposal, and hopefully we'll bring an update paper back to you next month.
Okay. Thanks, Janine. And Chair is hoping to get in under Chairperson's remarks, but you didn't do it. So.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin, for reminding me, and I'll do them when I bring it after bringing Councillor Walker and Councillor Andrews.
Chair, thank you very much. Just more a comment. I had Joe Dagan's phone me today in relation to the upgrade to the Ballinahinch Centre and the Margaret House and that, and it's just hopefully we can progress that ASAP in that there. It's coming along nicely in that there. And I just want to relay my thanks to Michael and yourself and that, Janine, for bringing that there forward. You promised us you would do it. You are true to your word, so you are. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Andrews, I know you'd indicated before other speakers, but because you weren't a member of the committee, I can take you in now. Is that all right?
That's no problem, Karen. Thanks very much, Chair. Billy, I'd like to echo the same sentiments to Michael and to Nina in regards to Ballinahinch. You know, well done, and thanks for all your help and support. In relation to the action sheet on page 6 on the fair trade signage, I know I've been a brilliant supporter of it, a good supporter in a sense, of the fair trade and the signage across the district, and I'm just wondering what the update is and when do we expect to see the signage in place. Thanks so much, Chair.
Chair, that would be me. I don't know off the top of my head, but I can provide an update to Councillor Andrews directly or to the committee next month.
No problem. I'm happy enough for that, Owen, and thanks for your help. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Now, I'd just like to go back maybe to the chairperson's remarks and congratulate, and maybe a letter of congratulations go to two clubs, the Downpatrick RGE, who beat Cuckoo in the intermediate A final championship. So congratulations to them, and also congratulations to the Burn ladies on their win at the B final against the Connacht over the weekend. Also, just to acknowledge, and I know this is close to many councillors' hearts over the last week in the baby loss awareness week, the efforts made by all our local GAA clubs in lighting up their areas in remembrance of that right across the district, that had a massive impact and it was very well received. So well done on that. And also to last night, I had the honour of a drinks reception in Slieve Donard on the launch of the County Down Golf Classic, and I'd like to congratulate all the golfers that took part, particularly those from Ard Glass, Kilkeel and the Royal County Down Golf Course. And just maybe for a wee note for our own committee members to share and promote the wellbeing and sport in our community events from Newry Moore District Council would be great if we could share them on social media more. Just a wee thing that I was observing over the last month or two on the promoting of that, so that would be great as well. Thank you. So is there any other comments then for the action sheet? No. So I'm going then to item 4. Can I have a proposer and seconder for the action sheet? Councillor Sharvin to propose. Can I have a seconder, please? And Councillor O'Murray. Thank you. So item 4 is the notice of motion, and as Councillor Gibbons isn't a member of the committee, I will ask him to come in and read his motion and speak on it. This. Thank you. Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just be very quick, because I know I'm not on the committee, Chair, so I'll not go through the motion. It's right in front of you there, so I'll not go through it. But it's just, I'm going to be very quick, because I don't want to hold you back, but just to thank Officer Devlin, Owen Devlin, for putting through the report and making the reading through it here. It seems to be all good, and I'm just looking forward to the motion going to the climate change forum, because there'll be a good debate brought out there. We can tease out a lot of the issues within the motion, because it is huge. It's covering an awful lot of departments within the council. So I'm delighted that it's not going to be, well, you know, a lot of motions go through the council and they gather dust and that's the end of them. Where I wanted to make sure that there's going to be a good debate and it's going to go to the right forum and the climate change forum. So look, thank you folks for the support, and I just wanted to be brief on it. And thank you, Chair, for giving me the opportunity to have a few words on it.
Thank you, Councillor Gibbons. Councillor Murray.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just want to thank Councillor Gibbons for bringing the motion and the sort of collaborative approach that we've taken. I know I was approached separately regarding the issue, so it was kind of cool to come to council together and raise it as we did. Two peas from different pods, you might say, but there you go. Chair, I will speak briefly, and I'm going to make a few points that have been made to me from young people in our district with regards to this motion. As a council, we're committed to enhance, protect and promote our environment. And integral to doing this is developing the circular economy within our district. That is to say, to develop an economy and society which is more balanced within a sustainable system which allows our planet to survive. And this motion was designed to augment and secure these aims, while at the same time beginning to instigate a change of mindset, I think, within our district. That change mindset, I contend, needs to come from a system where we facilitate and where we move from a system where we facilitate transactions that take away or negatively impact on our natural outdoor spaces and into creating a society which interacts with its natural environment and allows nature to be both maintained and replenished. A natural, healthy environment and a vibrant economy go hand in hand, which is why the rights of nature seek to embed the value of nature into decision making. But that's enough of what I've got to say about it. I want to give a voice to the younger generation whose ideas aren't radical, they're just ideas. So a constituent of mine, unfortunately he was of Sleaf Crew, but he's now been lost in the moorns, is a 17-year-old naturalist writer and commentator, Dara McAnulty. Dara communicated to me what the rights of nature mean to him. And this is what he says: the right to a nature-rich society where nature, air, water, trees and wildlife are cherished as a basic human right. However, nature in itself, an interconnected part of who we are, deserves rights too. It sends a clear message that we as a society care for our world. We are roller coastering rapidly towards a world that is so nature depleted, it'll be difficult for all humans to thrive. So in giving nature rights, you're actually abiding human rights. What side of history will you just not stand in, but be known for? The side which realized that we are nature and it must be protected at all costs, or the side who turned their backs and sent a message to the young and future generations that you believed in a healthy earth was not something you believed in? I implore you all to put nature at the heart and soul of our policy making, because in doing so, you are sending a message of hope and compassion to our community. Not everyone believes as I do, which is the biggest hurdle we face, but you could change that this evening. So thank you, Dara. And I want to thank Dara because he's proven himself a very eloquent, articulate and effective lobbyist. in all areas regarding conservation and the natural environment. One final constituent, slightly closer to home, is Lily McMurray, age 9, and she writes, "Nature is wonderful. This was made even more so during lockdown when getting outside was so valuable. If you look outside, we can see so many different unique animals who have their homes in the nature around us. But our actions, such as pollution, is killing these animals and their homes, which is wrong. So I'm asking everyone who is listening to this to act in a way that looks after and respects nature." And again, I want to thank Lily for her contribution, her concern for the natural world, and her burgeoning activism. However, I also like to remind her to be a good child and to tidy her room from time to time. So yes, Chair, happy to support this motion. Keen to see how it can progress and be integrated in the council's system thinking. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor O'Murray.
Well, we all know that if things go wrong for Andy, get a job in Blue Peter after that. Well done, Andy. First class presentation. I'm sure the children of the district will be thrilled. Look, at just our group is more than happy to back this motion, and fair play to Mark and Andy for speaking so eloquently on it. You know, just when I was thinking about it, there's so many good things being done already. I'm thinking of the like of your men shed who are committed to the environment and planting hedges and planting trees out around football clubs in South Armagh and all that sort of crack. It's great stuff. The sustainability calendar that program that was the scheme that was run through the primary schools, that every child in the primary school, certainly that I work in, every year is desperate to get their picture included on the calendar with a reduce, reuse, recycle sort of an approach to it and that. And you know, it might be a calendar when it reaches councillors and that, but there's a scheme of work that goes on in school, and there's a million questions that have to be answered by teachers and conversations that have to be had and that, and everything's moving in the right direction. You know, at times everything's moving in the right direction, and motions like these are good for heightening our senses and our awareness of what needs to be done to do the right thing. So no doubt this is being sent to the correct forum, and we can all keep a good eye on progress going forward. So Moise Avacharja.
Thank you. Have we a seconder for tonight's motion, and for also for the officers' report, a proposer and seconder for it?
Proposed or seconded or whatever needs done, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray. Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. So item 5 on this evening's agenda is the financial assistance, and that's over to you, Janine.
Yes, Chair, members, sorry, it's coming off mute. The paper details proposed things to be included in call 1 of the 22-23 financial assistance. It is the largest call of the year, and you can see there's 17 things included within, so it's quite impressive. The time frame has been detailed in section 1.1 for the opening and closing of the calls, and just members to note the staggered closing dates for the bigger applications around capital funds. We're just giving groups a bit longer to fill in those bigger forms. There is also the rollout of the online training, both in December and January. The paper does reference the previous notice of motion around balance against women applications for projects. There's not a specific theme included within this call, but applications dealing with those issues and similar will also meet eligibility criteria for other themes within the call. Sorry, my voice is going to run out. So, Chair, we're looking for approval to release call 1 as detailed in section 1.1 and to note the key issues in section 2.1. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I think as a council, we should be extremely proud for the amount of things that we actually do make available to the community and the clubs that we have across the district. The question that I have is just for clarity for all the groups that will be applying. Because we're doing this in the current financial year call out, and obviously the new monies won't be until next financial year, but the application is opening in December and obviously closing January and February respectively. But taking the 16, for example, the sports capital grant, for example, if a club currently has a capital grant that they've been awarded this year and have until March to spend the money, are they able to still apply for that said grant again in this new call because the money will be in the new financial year? Because that's the confusing part for me and some of the clubs. Maybe, you know, they've been awarded the Irish language or they've been awarded the suicide prevention emotional well-being. Can they apply now, even though they've been awarded one this year? It's just providing that clarity to those that will be applying. Thank you, Chair. Happy to propose.
Thank you. Janine?
And yes, Chair, the applications, they shouldn't overlap in any way. Groups that have been awarded funding within this financial year, that allocation is safe, that project is separate. The reason we release the financial assistance calls early is so that groups have prior notification of what money they can spend in the next financial year, so there should be no conflict. And if there are any issues groups have, tell them please. Let us know and we'll guide them through it. And again, that plea to encourage groups to attend the training sessions, it really does make a difference when it comes to submitting their applications.
Thank you, Janine. Councillor O'Hare?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Just a wee question, Janine. Would this, any of this money be included for the dual language signs around the district? Because at the present minute, I'm waiting, there's a 2-year waiting list to get the dual language signs in probably the Crockleave area, the Hilltown, Mayor Bridge, even the Strabber area. So I'm just wondering, would be any money be available for that at all? Thanks, Chair.
I would have to look possibly at some of the eligibility criteria within certain things, possibly Irish language, for example, or community engagement. So if you're happy, I'll get a conversation with the team and come back to you on that.
That's great. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
Councillor Murray.
Yeah, just before I make my comment, Janine, maybe just tie in with Regina or whoever in what's to do with the Irish Language Strategy Working Group. Just make sure there's not a duplication of funding there, because I know, well, I would presume that if there was no way to get funding through this financial call for dual language signage, that the Irish Language Working Group would probably have a facility to have a conversation about that type of thing in it, just to double check. I could be completely wrong. Look, just to make the same point, probably as Gareth started off making, this is a fantastic scheme, and every year, you know, It generates huge excitement because this is the largest of the financial calls and it hits the most community groups. You know, you've got your sports capital and your sports capital minor there. So any big projects that any sports clubs in the district want to get in, you've got biodiversity, you've got festivals, you've got Irish language and minority communities, you've got good relations and you've got community engagements. You know, it's quality stuff. Janine, I've had this conversation with Michael before about this, and my fear is that I think sometimes there's quality projects that need funding, badly need funding, that don't get the funding year on year because of the skill set of the people that are filling out the application form. And I know you've hit the nail on the head, and I know what you're going to say. You're going to say it's vitally important that they go to the training for it. And I'm going to feed that back to them. I'm going to say, look, probably if you attend the training for it, it'll greatly improve your chances of getting on it. But it's been a bugbear, you know, where you get the initial excitement of it. It's a wonderful thing. You feed it back to the groups. The groups all apply for it. They tell you about the projects that they want to bring on. They don't get the fund for it year after year after year, and they're going, Asha, look, that's no good of a fund. Sure, like, you know, them ones down the road got more money this time, and so I'm going to feed back to them and say, I don't know whether any of them have gone to the training before, but definitely get them. It's a good news story. Thanks, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor. So we had a proposer in Councillor Sharvin in his remarks and seconded by Councillor O'Murray. Item 6 then is the District Electoral Area DEA Forums update report. Janine?
Yes, Chair, your monthly report from the DEA. So as usual, we have a summary in there for members that scopes the activity across all the DEAs, but we're looking for approval this evening for the action sheets of Sleeve, Croob and Mourne's DEA. Happy to answer any questions.
No questions, councillors. Then can I have a proposal?
I have a question in there, Chair.
Sorry, yeah, saying it now. Yeah, Councillor Murray, yeah.
Yeah. Janine, look, it's hugely disappointing that there's no report in from the Sleeve Gullion. I was looking back through that. You're more than welcome to go back through the minutes of the active and healthy communities. There haven't been too many reports from Sleeve Gullion. We are having the meetings, is the disappointing thing. We're having the meetings where we're having the discussions. We've got as many issues as any other DEA. We're thrashing them out, and then they're not coming to the floor of AHC at all times. So at this month's forum meeting, I called it out. I said to the coordinator, we've had such a conversation tonight about Speeden and Dorsey, such an individual issue, like just a one-off issue that, you know, the community association are really looking to get meeting with people. They wanted to come to the DEA forum meeting. It was agreed that it wasn't the right forum to be inviting community groups in, that we wouldn't be able to have that many people in person out of that there. And we decided that we were going to bring it up at AHC. I said to the coordinator, make sure that the report's in AHC, that we can highlight this at AHC, the need for councillors to engage with the community association and to set up a group or to set up a meeting ourselves, even outside the community association or something. Do you know, it's one of them that if it wasn't discussed tonight, it was just going to go on to the next forum meeting. And you see, when I saw the agenda for it and went straight for the DEA forum update reports and nothing from Sleeve Gullion yet again. And if you go back through them, there mightn't have been one for 6 months, and we are having the meetings, and the meetings are, they're full of issues, you know. It's just that issue there.
Thank you, Councillor McAvoy.
Yes, just on Mornsey, I know it was a topic was Ballymartin Play Park, and I know Paul's probably sick of listening to me about this, but I know there's been several delays on the completion of works. Do we know, is there a proposed completion, and has the latest equipment arrived? I know Connor had come back to me to say last Wednesday, it was last Tuesday, it was due on the Wednesday. I just was wanting to inquire, is all equipment there and now for the completion of the play park?
Chair, I can come in on that. So, listen, yeah, and I have to come back to you. I'm not sure of the update since Connor spoke to you, I think it was last week. So, obviously the supply chain issue has been very well outlined to councillors in the area and stuff, and we'll try to keep you updated as much as possible, but I'll hopefully come back to you tomorrow. But it should be on site, and work should be commencing if it hasn't commenced already again, and hopefully we can get a timeline on that as well.
That's great. Thank you, Paul.
Apologies, Janine. Can I ask you to go back to Councillor O'Murray after this meeting's over on that issue that he's raised?
Absolutely. It'll be top of my priority list to find out why, because there's a choreography that we need the action to be approved at committee before the activity can be undertaken. So I'll definitely come back to you on that tomorrow.
Okay. Can I have a proposer and seconder then for item 6? Thank you, Councillor McMurray, and thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Item 7 then on tonight's agenda is the Women's Aid in Armagh Down. Janine?
Yes, Chair, members, we've been contacted, Council has been contacted by Women's Aid who have requested that we endorse and help support for the group's plan to extend and continue to develop their ELEOS scheme. So the recommendation is that we confirm this in writing and provide whatever support we can as a Council for the initiative and the important work contained within. Happy to take any questions.
I see that Councillor McAvoy has proposed, and I'd like to second this as well, but bringing in Leanne.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'd be delighted to propose that we support the Women's Aid request to endorse the development of their services. Recently, our chairperson, Cathy Mason, met with Women's Aid to discuss the amazing work they do, and this project was front and centre of that conversation. It is imperative that Women's Aid get all the help and support they need to ensure the work they are doing is sustainable in the future. The statistics of domestic violence against women, not only here in Newry Mourne and Down, but right across the north, is shocking. And Women's Aid Newry and Down, and also Women's Aid Belfast, who look after the right up the Newcastle area, are a saviour to many, literally saving hundreds of lives. I would also ask the Council not only endorse this project, but also supports Women Aid in any way possible moving forward. I know our newly formed Council Women's Working Group are asking them to come along and present to them, but perhaps this is something that could be open up to all councillors to raise as much awareness as possible of the services in which they provide. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAvoy, for that. You got the proposal and seconded there, sorry, yeah. Okay. No further comments on that then. We're moving on then to item 8, the Community Coordination Hub update report. And that's over to you, Janine.
Yes, Chair. Again, this is our monthly report from the Community Coordination Hub. It mainly details the actions agreed around the funding provided from DSC through Council for COVID recovery and transition. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sorry, I just can't see. There's a wee square across me. Okay, proposed by Councillor Finnegan, seconded by Councillor McMurray. O'Murray, yeah, thank you for that. Item 9 then is on tonight's agenda is the recruitment of an independent members to the District Electoral Area DA Forums. Janine?
Yes, Chair. There's a number of vacant places across the DEA forums still. Previously, we had help from NICFA to recruit those independent members, but despite a number of attempts at trying to get another provider to do that, we've been unsuccessful. So the proposal in front of members tonight is that we utilise the expertise and the skills contained within the Strategic Stakeholder Forum, which reports in through Council's community planning structures also. And it's a recommendation that we would work in partnership with the forum to get nominations for the right people to fill the places within the DEAs. In addition, we're seeking approval to utilise some of the PEACE4 allocation to build capacity with existing members of the DEA and also any new members that we hope to attract. And we have attached a draft terms of reference for the DEAs. If members are happy to approve, then the changes will be made as detailed.
Thank you, Janine. Councillor O'Murray?
Yeah, I'm happy to approve. Janine, I think we need to do all we can to try and get the best quality of independent member onto the DEA forum as possible. It's worth pointing out that from the start, from the very inception and the very idea of the DEA fora, that, you know, it's always been the thinking that we need the community representatives, the people who are doing the most in terms of community representation in a DEA, to be happy to sit on the forum. And my fear is that in South Armagh in particular, in Sleeve Gullion DEA forum, I think we've already maximised that out. In from the beginning of the DEA fora, we had, in our first round of it, we had Darren Rice sitting on it from representing the Ring of Gullion project board or whatever. He was just representing the Ring of Gullion. He had the most fantastic ideas. He was making our meetings really interesting because we were coming with the boring council stuff and he was coming with the amazing ideas on how to revitalise Slieve Gullion as an area of outstanding natural beauty in that. And himself, Una Walsh, nobody would have been more active in the community than Una Walsh down through the years, local historian. Thomas Marne, when he was working over in T. Cullen, and all of them left the DEA forum because they were reporting back, they were going to it, they were unenthused, they were reporting back that it was like a toothless tiger. They thought it was going to be this amazing game changer for the district, and I know I'm not having a pop at it, you know, it's just they thought it was going to be something that it wasn't. They've just all left it one by one. And, you know, we've still got Teresa Nugent there who's in the Wald Centre in Collyhanna, and, you know, she's doing amazing work of that. But, you know, it's the wells, we're not going to the bottom of the well anymore. You know, we're sort of midway through the well, and then soon we're going to be scooping and there's going to be nothing left because, you know, the risk and reward is, yeah, go and get these people, go and get the people who are fascinated and really enthusiastic about developing the DEA and all of that. But then things need to happen quicker for everybody for it to be worthwhile. So yeah, happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you, Chair. I have to agree with Councillor O'Murray there. What I would suggest is there any chance for us to get the community associations involved? They are the ones that are working on the ground tirelessly, very strong in many areas, and we are not tying in as a DEA. It's not good enough. I'll give one example. I'll just briefly go into it, that the council give £5,000 every year to different community associations to put on events, Cross of Envy and one of them. £5,000 is approved this year. The DEA had money to support Halloween, and instead of putting it into the main event, it was put into a totally separate event. The money was actually put into a fantastic crowd of people. There was no doubt about that, but not for Halloween at the time when the already struggling community association couldn't put on what they would like to put on because of the lack of funds. What I would say is I do think we need to be tying in with it because it was a massive kick in the teeth for that community association in particular. We want to promote, you know, giving money into local shops and whatnot. And this was a crowd from Newry that was going to come into South Armagh. And it was just massively disappointing and very, I suppose it was disrespectful to the community group that puts this on every year. And what I would ask is that we do ask either the chair or the secretary of each community association in South Armagh to come along if they're available and tie in with their ideas so that we're not mixing and matching and missing events, because I know that the community associations that I work with, Cullaville and Cross McGlen, do feel that they are not communicated with and that they're not, they don't feel that the information is available to them at all times when funding is coming. So I do think it would work better if we communicated with community associations. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Casey.
Thanks, Joe. I'm inclined to agree with the last few speakers, to be quite honest, because I know the Newry DEA, our coordinator's ringing around today to try and get something for the agenda. And I have noticed in the past, too, that at the very start of this, it was, as far as said, it could have been a game changer, where you did have, you know, you had the PSNI, you had Housing Executive, DFC, all of those corporate bodies, plus you had someone from Confederation of Community Groups. We have that in Newry, and that'd be something maybe that Aoife could examine about for Anbarra for South Armagh, because on the Neighbourhood Renewal Partnership you have all the community groups, and the leader of that would that guy Jackson, he would attend the DEA meetings, and he would be getting a good feel of what his members should be presenting to us on their behalf. So, but it has gone flat a bit, I think, in the past, and by and large, you have apologies from some of the game changers, as Barra quite rightly put them there, and it's become a bit of a toothless tiger. It could do good, and it should do good, and it probably will do if people start attending. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair, I think it's a theme across the whole district. We actually had a new member join us as a replacement for previous representative for a group. So I think the challenge that we're all facing as well is the members that are part of our DAA have been there since they've been founded. And I thought previously under the terms and conditions that membership would be renewed and members that are wanted to stay could stay, but obviously other members could leave and new members come on, and that was the plan for it. But just touching on what other councillors mentioned there, I think that the biggest challenge that our DAs are having, and don't get me wrong, Katrina Hines and the Downpatrick DA does a fantastic job. There's so many programs and activities at every DA forum, and I'm the chair of our DA this year. She's bringing so much events and updates to us, and there's stuff that, you know, are on the program or something came up and she's quickly adapted to that. But I think from a community side, there's the capital element of it. You know, we have all these village plans and action plans. I'll use Ballyhorn as an example. Saul and Rahulp has a village plan. And the council's not necessarily doing anything with them. And maybe community planning is going to solve all that. But, you know, maybe as a DEA forum, we have two sets of pots of money, of one saying this is the revenue, this is do your activities and programs, and then you have a small pot that could deliver those sort of capital items. You know, the community group might want a picnic table here or there, or a bench put in somewhere, and that we have a budget within the DEA that can deliver such a thing. You know, I think that would really hit the ground then. You know, that's something the community groups and communities that we all represent actually can physically see delivered. And I know our DA officers don't have the capacity to do that at the moment, and that's maybe something that the director can speak to corporate services around, because obviously there is a capital projects team that could facilitate and assist that. But maybe when we're looking at the whole structure of the DA, we take that in consideration, because I know in my area, the groups that join would love to see something delivered on the ground rather than a program, which I don't take away from, they do fantastic work, but something physical, I think that's what the DEA is missing.
Yeah, thanks, councillors, for your comments there. Can I get a proposer and seconder for item 9? Okay, councillor.
I proposed it in my speech, I think.
Was it? Okay, thank you, Councillor O'Murray. Seconded by Councillor Finnegan, thank you. Moving on then to item 10, letter of support for the Regional Home Safety Facility.
Thank you, Chair. This report, members, Causeway Coast and Glens have asked us for letter support regarding the provision of a regional home safety facility again. Up until early last year, there was a facility known as Radar, which was provided with a number of partners at the Belfast Harbour Estate. It was a great facility about home safety, road safety, fire safety. It would have been visited by lots of schools in this area and lots of groups, but due to funding, it had to close. And similarly, Causeway Coast and Glens had their own version, which had to close due to budgetary cuts. So they're just asking all the councils to write a letter of support to say that such facility could again be provided on a regional basis. And obviously, as a department, we'd be fully supportive of it, because we're very involved with home safety, whether it's for older people or children. So just looking for support to send this letter of support. Support to send this letter of support, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor O'Murray, for the proposal, and Councillor William Walker for a second item 10. So item 11 on tonight's agenda is the consultation on the Food Standards Agency. Owen?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's just looking for committee's approval to submit the attached consultation response. It's a proposal from the Food Standards Agency. If there was the merit and demand for millers here to sell unfortified flour onto the Northern Ireland market, subject for destined for countries outside the UK or used in products to be sold outside the UK, there are no public health implications, because as said, is for product that would be sold outside of Northern Ireland. just looking for permission to return that response, the tax response.
Okay. I propose item 11. Can I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Murray. Item 12 then is the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum, the action sheet for meeting held on the 16th of September 2021. Owen, that's voting, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's for noting and for decision. So it's to note the report and just to agree to approve the actions in the action sheet. So we bring this every quarter.
Yep. Can I have a proposer and seconder for item 12? Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. The seconder? Councillor McAvoy, thank you very much. Item 13 then is Nuria Moore and Down Active Travel Master Plan. Owen?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, so last September, the Council agreed that we'd develop a strategy to promote and encourage walking and cycling, and we were able to get funding from COVID-19 Revitalisation Plan, and we commissioned SusTrans then to develop the Active Travel Master Plan. So this was carried out earlier this year over a four-month period. So it was a public survey as well as online workshops, statutory organisations, lots of key stakeholders. So they've now come up with the final version. What I would point, I think there's an excess of, it is a very visionary document, and it reflects all sorts of works that government departments, et cetera, might have to do across the district. What I would say to members is it hasn't, although there's, I think it's over 500 recommendations, it hasn't been able to reflect every potential project within our district. So there may be areas where you feel that something could be done. There will be an officer working group to bring things forward. It also does point out in the plan that it is used some for smaller settlements. It's basically providing a template that can be used rather than being able to reflect everyone. So we're looking for approval to adopt the master plan.
Thank you, Owen. I want to make comment Minister Nicola Mallon's comments on the walking and cycling commitment on the Narrowwater Bridge programme. And I see this is mentioned in this Active Travel Master Plan. So I would like to welcome that and propose this this evening. Councillor O'Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Owen, for the delivery on that there. It's very visionary, you know, and it's fantastic. And I suppose when you take your head out of being a driver and somebody who's contributing to traffic jams, and I'm looking in particular at the Newtown Hamilton one and the Cross McLean one. I'm from Newtown Hamilton, that's where my father lives, on that main street that's busy all the time, and I teach in Cross McLean on the Cairn Road, which is the one that's busy all the time with traffic parked, particularly at dropping off and picking up towns. So I looked at this with that sort of an eye to say, right, well, I know I'm acutely aware of the issues that exist for pedestrians on both sides. And, you know, with regards to safety for children getting to schools, the pedestrian crossings, the modal filters, the junction upgrades, the cycle parking, and that, you know, whether it's on the square in Cross McLean or it's in the square in Newtown, pedestrian crossings outside the secondary school in Newtown and the primary school in Newtown, they'll provide, if, you know, I don't know if this is all aspirational, Owen, or whether, you know, I'm saying it's a 10-year vision where cycling and walking are attractive travel choices, and that's fantastic. In 10 years, are we going to be reflecting back on this and saying, yeah, that's great, all these pedestrian crossings went in, all these junctions are top class, or are we going to say, well, look, it was aspirational at best, and we didn't get buy-in from the Assembly or whatever? I suppose that's the question. I'm more than happy to propose it because, you know, certainly if we can do anything as local councillors in these areas to even to work with DFI to try and get something pushed on in regards to it, because anything that will promote safe routes to school for children, and I know it's not all about that, it's about cycle lanes and it's about everything else, but just to me, in those two towns that I talked about where children have to cross busy roads all the time, if you're walking up to Dock Street in Newtown, on the right-hand side, where most houses are on the right-hand side. Dungarmley Estate's on that side, so if children come down from the estate, they walk along the right-hand side of Dunlock Street, and they have to cross that road where there's speeding issues as well. So it's been an issue for it. So if there's pedestrian crossings going in and that's going to take away all that threat and all that risk and that. So more than happy to propose. The question is it purely aspirational, or are we going to see this being rolled out month on month, year on year, or week on week?
Thank you, Councillor O'Murray. I made the proposal on it, but I'm happy to take you in as a seconder on that, my remarks. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And certainly, I was looking for an executive summary whenever I saw it was 204 pages. But I got through quite a bit, and then I realised Appendix 2 was the recommendation, so I should have just went there first. But we were at SPNR last week, where it was proposed that we apply to the complementary fund as part of the Belfast City Region deal. Will this active travel master plan feed into the fund that we have applied for with the active and sustainable part of that element? The other part, and similar to Councillor Murray, you know, I focused on the Downpatrick part of it, and there's parts of it I wasn't sure which street they were referring to and where I'd be able to get that. But the one would be the undertake the trial closure of section of Downpatrick's retail core to through traffic. I'm assuming they mean Market Street. I don't know how well that would go down with the businesses on that particular route, but there's many good projects in it, you know, definitely the cycle routes, the greenways, that would really transform this. But are we sending this also to government departments? You know, is this master plan going to go to the likes of DFI, DSC, who actually could provide the council with the funding facility to deliver some of this in correlation with the complementary fund grant application we've made as well? So there are just a couple of questions, Chair.
I want to invite you back to respond there.
I hadn't considered the complementary fund at the time. However, we would say that even since this started to be developed, that with the Minister, the DFI are much more engaged with us than they would have been previously, even you in their previous iterations of community planning on this type of work. So we'd be hopeful. So what we also, part of this would be looking for opportunities to apply for funding to do these things. But you'll see it certainly, a lot of them are things that will require like central government to do. But I suppose it's setting out, and it is aspirational, but I think as Councillor Murray said, it's aspirational, but it is something that we want to see things happening. And I'll not be here in 10 years to see what did happen, but it is aspirational in that it is high-level and visionary, but it is obviously something we want to see things happening. So.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I suppose listening just to the two previous councillors, the first things that sort of strike me are, you know, you're never stuck in traffic. You are traffic. That's one thing to remember. And secondly, I suppose, like Councillor Sharvin, you know, my eyes were drawn to the section on Slieve Croob until I kept scanning down, and then couldn't find the section on Slieve Croob. So I couldn't. So I am reassured that, from both communications with Mr. Devlin and Mr. Lipsett, this is a sort of a direction of travel, if you excuse the mixed metaphors there, with regards to where we're going in this council. I would also like to be, you know, captain, whatever that officer panel is that deals with that, because I've been working consistently with them. Dundrum Village Association, and you know, they have plans, they have dreams, they have aspirations of how to improve active travel within their district. So it would be really good to know that those can be acted upon. But ultimately, again, it sounds terribly begrudging of me to come and make those points, because it is a fantastic document. I mean, reading some of those proposals about greenways, reading some of those proposals about trying to link up the lanes across the hills. It's just it's brilliant, and it's really visionary. It's really, really good, and hopefully, as Councillor Sharvin touched on with regards to the funds, this can really be expanded upon. And again, if we increased our spending from £3 a person to £10 a person, with the infrastructure, we'd be really getting somewhere. So we'd on our bikes, preferably. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey.
Thank you, Karen. Good to hear Owen saying that DFI are sort of buying into it, more so now than ever they did. I hope they put their money where their mouth is. I'm not a cyclist, but I have a bicycle down the shade, and we go down the towpath every now and again, or just the area that I live in. I wouldn't for the life of me try to navigate some of the cycle lanes, or what are supposed to be cycle lanes in the Newry area, and I've been parochial here again. They haven't invested in proper signage. I mean, I don't know how cyclists, people who do cycling all the time, day and daily, hope to cycle on the lanes that you see in Newry, especially on the Armagh Road near where I live. The markings are totally non-existent. As a result of that, cars are parking on them now. So if a cyclist is coming along, lo and behold, there's a van or a car parked, where does he go? Up in the footpath and upset maybe people with prams and stuff like that, or out on the road and get mangled with a bus or a lorry or a car going past him, and even in the towpath. The council, a fair bit of our council staff, will do a fair bit of work on it, tidying it up. It looks the part. And I see in the report there's some of that there's hope to be some more investment in it in its entirety. They call it the Greenway now, the towpath from Newry right through to Portadown. I was on a committee years ago which incorporated Newry Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon. And, I mean, we got a report one time that was actually the visitors on the towpath, I mean, outstripped the visitors to the James Causeway in one particular year, and it's used even more so now. So, and I'd say they should widen the some of the towpath where it's narrowest, put an indication of where cyclists should be, because I know if you go out on Sunday morning, you see the time trialists there, and I don't want to be too harsh on them. They're afraid to go on the roads themselves because of the difficulty with cycle lanes in the roads, so they're on the towpath. And they're slipping up behind you, and I'm sort of hard of hearing. I suffer from the roady deafness, as they call it. It comes from my mother's side, corned beef. You can't hear a bicycle until it's right up beside you. One of those guys doing 30 kilometres or 40 kilometres an hour, and he's right on top of you before you realise it. So and don't suggest 1 minute that we hire wardens to patrol it on a regular basis, although it wouldn't be a bad idea. But where possible, get the DFC on the roads to put new markings in for cycle lanes and all road junctions where possible, and get more investment on the towpath itself. Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. Councillor McAteer, you're not a member of this committee, but I will invite you in. There's no other councillors who've indicated to speak in this, and I invite you in now. We'll make a comment.
That's why I held off to the last, Chair. Let's tell Charlie there's a train coming there behind him on his photograph. He hasn't noticed that anyway. Yes, I mean, it is a very exciting report, and I suppose it will be, it's a guide for the future, and hopefully some of the aspect will be brought sooner rather than later. But I think with any report, and Owen did say that there'll be an officer group set up, but I do think that before we go that far, there's just a couple of things just to maybe to mention and to put in. One thing I noticed was that 1 mile away from the centre of the area is Ballyhole, and there was no linkage at all in Ballyhole, while there was links, you know, across the town. But at the end of the day, Ballyhole, the village of Ballyhole, it was only 1 mile away, and there's two routes going out to it, Courtney Hill and on the Temple Hill Road. So I would ask just that be noted and if possible included in that as well. Also noticed that there was an opportunity on the Warren Point dual carriage where Warren Point to Newry dual carriage, where a lot of cyclists, there is an attempted cycle lane there, but it isn't the most pleasant of journeys really, and because then a lot of litter comes out, plus the fact that the type of lorries, etc., vehicles there, you know, with the wind pressure, etc., doesn't make it the most pleasant of cycle routes. So to that end, I was just to note that there was an omission really in recognising that quite a substantial stretch running from just past Narwater Castle right up to the ramparts is actually part of the old railway. And just to flag that up and possibly have the Sustrans people have just to note that again, or maybe go off the other side of the carriageway and look down and identify that and actually mark that out on it as well. Because as Karen mentioned earlier on, at the meeting down morning with the minister, that was the whole big emphasis really, was linking up Narrowwater Bridge with the Carlingford to Newry Greenway. And so that again is on the same theme where there's no railway is there. So I would just ask that that be noted as well, if possible, Owen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Declan. No other, so that's grand. Item 14, I have declared an interest in, and I've just been asked to, if Charlie, you could take over just for item 14 this evening, if you're happy enough for that.
Yeah, go ahead. Who's what officer's taking it?
That's me again, Charlie. It's just consider approved payment of our member subscription to Nuclear Free Local Authorities. We've been a member since the old councils, legacy council, both members since 2001. So there's just to approve paying the annual subs. It's in the existing budgets already. So we're just looking for approval to pay that.
Any proposer or seconder? Anybody got any issues or any comments on it before we do take a proposer or seconder? Proposed by Barra, I think. And seconded by Charles Sharvin, is that right? Am I right?
The other way around. Proposed by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Murray.
Thanks, Sharvin, for keeping me right. That's it then. Thanks very much for that.
Thanks very much, Charlie. For doing that. So item 15 then is the CFLAG funding application. Owen?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, we're looking for permission from Council to make an application to the CFLAG Marine and Coastal Plastic Anti-Litter Programme. And if it's approved, we would have to provide match funding to the project. The application has been submitted by the required date, which was the 8th of October, on the proviso that it will be subject to Council approval to proceed any further. So it's... The application is looking at provision of three water fountains, litter pickers for local groups, an awareness and education programme all about litter, single-use plastics and marine litter. The proposed project costs for approximately £14,000, so we'd be looking 20% match funding is required, so we would have that within existing estimates. So we're just looking for approval to go through with that application.
On Councillor Sharvin, you're proposing this evening, and you also have a question.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And yes, more than happy to propose. There's a good group there out in Ardlass who do beach cleanups quite regularly, and it's shocking to see how much they actually do pick and what can actually be found. But the question I had, Owen, was around the litter pick. Are litter pickers, will they be permanently donated to the groups? Because currently the council has a scheme where you have to request them, you get them, and then you have to give them back. And that can be very time-consuming for volunteers, whereas if the group can have them and that's theirs, then they can go out any time at all.
Thanks. I believe in this case, we'd provide the litter pickers to the relevant local groups.
Okay, thanks, Owen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, and can I thank Councillor McMurray for seconding item 15. Item 16 on tonight's agenda is the consultation on the draft Third Cycle River Basin Management Plan for 2021-2027. Owen?
Yeah, again, just looking for committee approval that we approve the attached consultation response. Again, that was returned by the required date, which was the 10th of October, on the proviso that it would be subject to council approval. So that's just looking for approval to say that we confirm that that's our response.
Councillor McMurray, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Mr. Devlin, the thing is, I'm not sure this can be put in at this moment or what, but I just noticed in reading, are you aware of any other additions, significant issues in the report? I'm not sure what exactly the report said, but what the point I'm trying to make is Castlewan Lake has had quite a significant issue with blue-green algae. It was quite prolonged issue of blue-green algae. I know that I was in contact with the Northern Ireland Environment Agency's Water Management Unit for said blue-green algae. I noticed as well that maybe some of my Slieve Gullion councillors could, Camel Lake has now got an issue of blue-green algae. I know how well Camel Lake is used recreationally. I know how much Calson Welland Lake is used recreationally. I'm just wondering, is this, is this report or is this, consultation response, would that be a medium through we can, express our concerns about said lakes? If it is, can we get that added in? If it's not, is there another way by which said issues can be noted, raised, pursued, etc.? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'll take on Councillor Casey on before you respond. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Just somewhere along the same lines as Councillor McMurray, the condition of some of the waterways, the canal, the new canal, for one, and I've been complaining quite vociferously over the last number of months about the condition of the Newry Canal from Reddy's Locks right on through to as far as you want to go. It's completely overgrown. And it's probably due to the fact that, I think it mentions in the report, agricultural waste been washed down off the land and it encourages maybe growth, encourages all those algae growth. And I know our council staff are down there the very best to tidy up the part of the canal that, was prominent in around Newry and around the canal court and between the Albert Basin and Sugar Island. But it is a continuing battle on their behalf with limited resources, I suppose. But Rivers Agency are just turning a blind eye. They're doing nothing. I mean, I know our council have written to them suggesting that they put their harvester on the canal at Riley's Locks and just work their way out towards Cairn Bain. I mean, there's a piece of apparatus worth $250,000 sitting in Loch Ness somewhere, parked up for the winter, but they should be out using it in Newry. Thanks very much for that, Chair.
Thank you. Owen?
I think in relation to the queries about the blue-green algae, unfortunately, ultimately, I suppose, it is, as we've highlighted, there's a lot of agricultural runoff. Unfortunately, blue-green algae will be subject to the weather, and at the moment, prolonged still weather, and what's going to clear it is a bit of stormy weather and a bit of heavy rain, and that's all it's up to the landowner. I know our ERT department have had signs put up at Camel Lake at the moment because there's blue-green algae. Within Castle Welland, it will still be up to Forestry Service, and then Northern Ireland Environment Agency will carry out the sampling to ensure that it's clear. If members want us to put in to add another paragraph, I'm not entirely sure what the wording of it would be, but we can do.
Can I get a proposer and seconder then for item 16?
Sorry, Chair, is that
I didn't see there, Councillor McMorrin.
If it requires a proposal to carry out what Mr. Devlin suggested, then yes. I suppose the only quibble I would have is that, I understand the issues around blue-green algae, but, the prolonged time the blue-green algae was on Castle Welland Lake through all sorts of weathers, it didn't just require a wee bit of wind to break it up a bit. It was there for such a prolonged time. It was only for the fact that it was during lockdown. Otherwise, it had a severe impact on the recreational users of said lake. I can only imagine that Camla Lake would have, I'm not sure what the user numbers would be, but again, I know it's frequented by swimmers, by canoeists and other recreational users. So again, certainly I'll propose if Mr. Devlin can include something or such like, but thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Happy that one?
Yeah.
Can I have a good seconder then for that? I second that, sir, to move things on. Item 17 then, on tonight's agenda is the cancer strategy. Owen?
Sure, yeah. The Department of Health are consulting on 10-year cancer strategy for Northern Ireland, and asking the committee consider the report and agree that the attached consultation response is returned to the department.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare, for the proposal, and Councillor O'Murray for seconding the proposal. Item 17. Item 18 then is the leisure public holiday arrangements for 2021-2022. That's over to you, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Members will be aware that we usually bring an annual report around public holiday arrangements for our leisure facilities. Obviously, due to COVID last year, those were a wee bit intermittent. So, however, the report's in front of you, members. It's to agree and consider the public holiday arrangements for 2021-22 as per Appendix 1. And I'm happy to take any questions or queries on this.
Can I have a proposer then and seconder for item 18 tonight? Thank you, Councillor O'Hare. Can I have a seconder? She a member? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Councillor Hart. Thank you. Okay, item 9 then is the community planning review. It's Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Members will hopefully recall that at the Community Planning Partnership meeting earlier on in the year, it was agreed the partnership would conduct a review of the community plan during quarter one of 2022. Accordingly, we have developed public engagement with the extended civic engagement forum, which is led by the Strategic Stakeholder Forum. And the plan there is to allow members of the public to actively share their experiences and views, etc., and to inform any changes to the community plan as a result. So it's proposed that that platform is used, and we've set out exactly what the stakeholder engagement will look like. So we'll engage with the statutory and community planning partners, the Strategic Stakeholder Forum, as I've said, the Youth Voice, Older People's Forums, the DEA forums. So councillors will then have the opportunity to input into that as well. And those councillors that are on the Community Planning Partnership will be able to have the final say on that, obviously. So it's recommended that a third party be employed to facilitate the workshops and engaging the key stakeholders as set out in sections 2.2 and 2.3. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. As no councillors indicated any questions, can I get a proposer and seconder for item 19? I propose. Can I get a seconder? Councillor Sharvin, thank you. Item 20 is a request to Councillor Brown from the Mid-Ulster Integrated College Dean Group to present to Council. Michael, can I ask you to make a comment on that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As you've said, Councillor Brown was approached by the Mid-Down Integrated College Steering Group, who had asked would it be possible for them to present their plans to Council. Having discussed this with the Chief Executive, we felt that I should bring it forward to AHC this evening for you to consider that. We also are recommending that we hold an information session workshop, if that's what the members would like to see happen, rather than it being at a Council meeting or a standing committee. That would be a more informal workshop type environment, which would allow members to engage and ask questions. So it's up to the committee if that's what they want to do.
Councillor Walker, you want to comment on that?
Chair, yes. I'd make it a proposal, and that I do think that anybody has a right to make a presentation to Council in whatever form it is. But I have to say that I would be opposed to these proposals in a sense that I've already visited a number of schools in our area. They're all totally opposed. This is going to put serious pressure on the schools in the district at the minute, particularly in Rowallan, when you take Saintfield, Ballinahinch and Colin Kells and St Coleman's. We have met the principals and that. We're meeting the principals of St Coleman's and St Conkills on Friday and that. And I would be opposed to it, but they're entitled to have their say and let them put their proposals forward.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Sorry, there's a wee square just going over. Councillor Murray. O'Murray? Yeah, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Got a good look through this here as well, and I suppose I was sort of thinking to myself, where's it coming from? Or, you know, listen, we can't say no to a school who wants to make a presentation. I don't think that for a second. I was listening to what Michael was saying, I was sort of breaking up a wee bit. I think to see if every party wanted to nominate one or two councillors to, and if any independents wanted to get involved in this as well, just to have a focus on education, say, for a month. And there was an opportunity for representatives from this school, from the integrated sector that Councillor Brown has put forward, that there was a representative from Irish Medium Education, from the control sector, from the CCMS, from every sector. If everyone wanted to come and tell us about their plans for the future and what they want to do, I sort of agree with Billy. You can't be taking one sector of education in to tell us how amazing they are and how forward thinking they are, and everyone else sitting at home not having the opportunity to do it. So if we could perhaps have, if it was going to be a one-off event, maybe a panel discussion, or, you know, with a group of councillors. Like if you had half a dozen councillors and three or four education sectors, and you had a educational discussion and with them about the way forward for them and what their needs were and how their needs could be met through Newry Morning Down District Council, I think that would be really constructive, and you wouldn't be annoying anybody. You'd be giving everybody a soapbox, as it were. So if that's what Michael was sort of half hinting at, I'd be more than happy to make that proposal, that, or second, if that's what Billy has proposed, that a group of councillors that we can send our names forward into Michael or whoever, and if it could be tabled to, yes, invite these people. We'll also come up with a list of other sectors that could be invited to that, or write out to different schools and ask them if they want to be represented on it. And let's have the chat.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Sharvin?
Yes, Chair. Councillor
Sharvin.
Okay. I don't know if Councillor McMurray, you're looking to go on it now. All right. Chair, it's an odd one because this isn't actually a school. You know, they don't have a physical building. It's a group that's came together to form an integrated school within the Mid-Down area. And I think ultimately, my understand the effect it'll have in Downpatrick is Blackwater School, which is based on the Killay Road within Downpatrick, will close because this new integrated school will be established. So I think, just to pick up on some of the comments and previous councillors, this isn't a school asking to come and meet us. This is a group to come and meet us. You know, as AHC over the years and as a previous chair of the committee, whenever we had requests, we didn't normally have presentations come in. We had around the community bank, as an example. You know, officers went and met with them to understand what it was about. We got a report. We didn't have a presentation. This really could open a can of worms. You know, one thing that I could think of is the amalgamation of the schools within Downpatrick. You know, we could have a group come to the council and ask, could they present on that? Is it the council's place to make a decision on inviting them for them to share that? Surely, I've been contacted by the Mid-Down Integrated College Steering Group as an individual councillor, not necessarily through the council. So I think we just need to be wary of what we're agreeing here. You know, if we agree to this workshop and bring in, and I fully understand where Barr's come from about the CCMS and the Irish Medium coming in, but are we facilitating one group and then next month we're going to have another group come and ask us and we'll not be able to say no because we've now set a precedent that we have to take them in. So I'm not against the idea, it's just we really need to be mindful of this.
Okay, Councillor, for your comments. Councillor Walker, you want to come back in response to Barra?
Yes, in response to Barra. I totally have supported what Barra said of it.
Before you start making a wee comment, on the meeting chat, you've put a P and a C. Are you actually proposing item 20?
Yes, I am. I am, Chair, and that's what I'm saying. Proposal, I believe, and I take on board what Councillor Sarton has also said. I'm making it a proposal. I agree with Barron that. I actually think, and Councillor Sarton's right, this is a bunch of people that's come together because they couldn't get their kids into Lagan College. And they've decided they want to open a mid-down school in the St. Field Cross Gar area. So they do. Now, as I've said, I don't mind people coming and making presentations. I think it's their democratic right. So it is in relation to it. But I also think that we should also be inviting the schools in the area that are very, very concerned. Now, Barra mentioned Irish-speaking schools and that too. You know, Councillor Sharvin has mentioned Blackwater. They will be under severe pressure. You know, the four schools in my area that I've been speaking to, I spoke to all four principals. I'm going on Fridays, as I said, to St. Colm Kills and St. Coleman's, myself and the Member of Parliament for Strangford and another councillor. And as I say, you know, I would make a proposal as well that while we're facilitating this meeting, it's for us to gauge your opinion. We as a council cannot write in any shape or form saying that we support this integrated school. This is just a presentation or whatever, a workshop that they're going to come in. We can ask them questions and that. Then as individual councillors or parties, whatever way we want to do it is, we can render support or not, because a lot of us have been lobbied in relation to it. But I, for one, will not be supporting anything that will be a threat to the schools in my area. And as someone has mentioned earlier on, Barra, CCMS are totally opposed to this. So they are. So, you know, the whole community in the area is opposed to it. And it's a bunch of people that has come together because they couldn't get their kids.
I'm on a council meeting here.
I think they should be allowed to do it, but we don't take a support. We as a council do not support them in any shape or form as a corporate body. We let councillors or individual councillors go ahead there and say, I support or I don't support. But Barra was right in that. I think we just don't listen to these people. We have the opposing factors to it factored into this.
Okay, thanks, Councillor. I'm going to bring in Michael at this stage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, I noticed there's some concern about this potential workshop. I personally, and the officers in my department and across all the departments, but certainly within AHC, we meet with CCMS, the Department of Education, the Education Authority, individual principals and schools and boards of governors all the time. Councillor Sharvin's quite right. Back in 2015, this committee decided that it wouldn't take presentations from interested groups and lobby groups and community associations and so on because of the amount of funding that is distributed by this committee. So if it helps, I'm quite happy that we could meet them as officers and we could do as Councillor Sharvin suggested and bring a report back to a future committee based on the outcome of that. If Councillor Walker was happy with that, perhaps to change his proposal, or alternatively, we can go ahead with a workshop as suggested, but that might be a better solution, Chair.
Thanks for your comments, Michael. Councillor McMurray?
Thank you, Chair. I wouldn't want to speak for what other principals in the area do or do not want to do or support, but going back a few stages in the conversation, Councillor Walker proposed it, and quite graciously said he proposed even though he didn't support the emphasis of it, which is incredibly gracious. I seconded the motion as is, and I'm quite happy to stand by that as is, and that's where I stand on the issue, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, just give me 1 second. Thanks. Councillor Murray, you proposed an amendment to item 20. Have you got a seconder for that?
I'm happy to second that, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McAvoy. It was to do for the workshop, Councillor O'Murray.
Yeah. That's grand, yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
You're still happy with that proposal, yeah?
Yeah, I think, you know, they say if we don't meet with them, it's going to cause more of a row, I think. And we're going to, you know, so if we can give some sort of a forum, it could be a Zoom forum for 45 minutes with interested parties to hear from educationalists around the district. And then we'll get a report written up and back to the next AHC. I think it's simple. I think it's straightforward, and it's a way out of it.
Chair, I'm a proposer, and I totally agree with Baron that, because if we don't hear what they have to say, there's councillors out there that will twist it for their own ends, and I'm just being frank about it, that they're being silenced or whatever, and that let them have their say, and as Baron says, well, it's a 45-minute Zoom meeting or whatever, and that there people can Zoom into it, so they can, and that, and let them have their say, let them have their presentation.
So, are you accepting the amendment then, Councillor Walker?
Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. You want to make a comment? Councillor Sharvin, you want to make a comment? Okay. Oh, sorry, Councillor McMurray.
No, I'm stick with the proposal as it is. I mean, this group has come forward. You know, I'm not sure of other schools that have come forward. So I'd just be happy to go with the officer's report as presented, Chair.
But it's not as good as a bunch of people.
Councillor Sharvin, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, Chair, I think, again, I'll reiterate that, you know, we're talking about they're doing a presentation, then bringing a report back. You know, what has happened before in this committee is officers have met with the said group and brought a report back with the presentation attached. You know, so we're still going to get the information, we're still going to get a report, and then for us to be informed, I just am conscious, again, of if we do this for this one group, then next month we're going to have another group who will ask for a workshop, and then how many workshops and information sessions are we going to end up intending? So, again, it's the precedent that we're going to set. So, but I'd like to understand now, under standing orders, if the seconder, if the proposer isn't accepting the proposal, the amended proposal, is the amended proposal taken first, and then the substantial proposal taken? It's just for clarity on that as well.
Yeah, Councillor Sharvin and I will be taking the amendment first. I would just ask maybe Councillor Murray to state it again, what your amendment is. Thank you.
Yeah, and specifically why I'm amending it, because what Gareth's saying is right, but the group, it's not a school, it's a group of interested people in an educational system. They're asking to come and give a presentation to councillors. They're asking to come and meet councillors. They're not asking to meet with Michael Lipset. No, all due respect to Michael Lipset, they're not asking to meet with Michael. They want to meet with councillors. They want to have a discussion and a face-to-face with councillors, or a Zoom-to-Zoom, whatever it is, with councillors. And I just think that you know, there could be negative press created around this. If we were to say, no, look, we're not doing it. We're not going to send council officials to go and speak and they'll write a report back in the town. I think it would show that, yes, we're elected by the people, for the people, and that as a committee, we don't, just because we can't sit down with them, we don't have to cut off all ties and say, no, we're not accessible. So, yeah, my proposal, my amendment to it was that if we could host an educational workshop for interested parties, for this group of interested people on integrated education, and invite other sectors of education. And, you know, I made the suggestion, this could be the education month. If there's Gareth saying, what if there's other people come out? Well, we could have a health month. We could have an engineering month. We could have whatever it is, you know. So that's what my amendment is, that we try and organise a workshop with a couple of councillors from each party who are interested in education, who want it. It's not going to be everyone's forte. Not everyone. I'd love to sit down and talk to people about different sectors of education for 45 minutes, and I won't be falling out with anyone about it. I'll be trying to see what's successful for them in their sector. So that's my amendment.
Okay, and you're still happy to second that, Councillor Walker?
Yes.
That needs to now go to a vote, so it can ask for a for and against up.
Just going to do a roll call vote because it's easier just for them.
Okay.
Can we have a roll call then, sir?
Thanks. Donna Sundry.
Okay. Councillor Casey?
For the amendment.
Councillor Finnegan?
For the amendment.
Councillor Gallagher's not here. Councillor Hart?
For the amendment.
Councillor Lewis isn't here. Councillor Malone?
He's still on the call.
Councillor Malone?
Just...
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor McKevitt?
Four.
Councillor McMurray?
I guess.
Councillor O'Hare? Councillor O'Murray?
For the amendment.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Tinnelly?
Four.
Councillor Trainor is absent. Councillor Walker?
Four.
Ten, four and one against.
I just want to check that in a moment.
Yeah.
He's on the call, but he's on the call.
Councillor Malone?
No, he's not even. Let me just.
Bear with us 2 seconds, members. Just bear with us 1 minute, please.
Just bear with us here, councillors. We're trying to get through to one councillor.
Hello, Councillor Malone.
You can just move on.
Okay. Just to clarify for the recording, that was 10 for the amendment and 1 against. Thank you.
Thank you for that. So the amendment now is carried, so the proposal falls. So item 21 on the policing, of tonight's agenda, policing and community safety partnership. Janine?
Yes, Chair, those three reports are for noting. I'm happy to take any questions.
Can I have a proposer and seconder to note item 21, 22 and 23? Thank you, Councillor Sharvin, and thank you, Councillor McAvoy. So item 24 on tonight's agenda is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item. Can I ask for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session? I can't see that. Councillor McAvoy and Councillor Hart, thank you. Thank you for that. Item 24, leasing of land at Dara Cross GAC and Tonic GAC Council Play Strategy. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, subject to all statutory approvals being in place, to enter into a 25-year lease with Dara Cross GAC and Taconic GAC, as outlined in Appendix 1 and 2, to facilitate the establishment of play parks in these areas as per Council Play Strategy. Councillor, that concludes this evening's meeting. Can I thank you all for your attendance and safe home to you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Good to see you all. Bye.